Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's stand and sing our praises, shall we?
Two and one, two, three, four, and...
To you, oh Lord.
People said, amen. Please be seated.
Amen. And welcome to Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. Good morning. I'm glad you're here because we come to church because we find comfort here. We find peace here. We sing beautiful songs which clears the air from our lungs and anything toxic from our lives. And we're renewed and refreshed. That's my expectation for today in worship. You might have noticed as you came in, there are some envelopes out there. These are for the Easter plant order. If you want to purchase a plant, and then you can take it home after Easter, we will be resplendent in flowers. And then just fill out one of these and put your stuff in the envelope. Also, I want to call your attention to your bulletin that you're going to take home and put on your refrigerator today. Right? There's some cool things coming up in worship here. One is the fellowship dinner, which will be Wednesday night at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. It's usually a potluck, so it's Thursday. And there's a sign up out in the Welcome Center if you'd like to sign up. But even if you don't sign up, come anyway. And there is a couple of other things I want you to take a look at that. And so, hey, welcome to worship. Do you see who our worship leader is today? You're very popular.
Ask him at the end of service.
She said, ask at the end of service. Anyway, we're glad that you're here, and let us begin our time of worship together.
Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. Please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ. This morning for our scripture reading, we will be having a sung response. So if you will look on page 756, I'll sing the response with you once, and then we'll go through the response of reading.
What page?
756. Sing with me. Lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and testimonies.
Lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face.
So pretty. Join me in an attitude of prayer. Lord, as we gather here today at the beginning of the season of Lent, we turn our hearts and minds to you in trust and in praise. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Savior. Open our eyes to the beauty of your creation, the wisdom hidden in your word, and the love that flows freely from your heart. Grant us ears to hear your gentle whispers, minds to discern your will, and hearts that yearn to follow your commandments. As we embark on this journey of reflection and renewal, may we walk together with you, our ever-loving God. May we find strength in your presence, comfort in your promises, and joy in your unfailing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. At this time, we want to invite our kiddos forward for their spark moment before we head on out into spark worship. There's a lot of kiddos here today, isn't there? Yay! Good morning, guys. So, I wanted to talk to you guys about something serious. Can we do serious in children's ministry? I think we can. I think you guys are pretty serious sometimes. When candy is involved, you're definitely serious, right? Okay, so serious stuff involving candy. Let's say thank you to the donations for the egg hunt. Woo, thank you guys. We appreciate it. But what we are talking about today is we just started a new season in the life of the church. On Wednesday, we started the season of Lent. Lindsay was what we call Ash Wednesday, and it's a very serious day. It's a very serious holy day in the life of the church. Because on Ash Wednesday, we are looking at our relationship with God. We are looking at how we compare to God. Do we compare to God in any way? We're tiny little humans, and he's a big giant God, right? But he created us out of love and to be individuals and unique. But the whole point of Ash Wednesday is to remind us that we fall short of God's glory every single day. And that it is our job to make ourselves right with God when we do that. And we do that through repentance. Jesus' ministry, in fact, starts with repentance. As soon as he is baptized, he comes out of the water, right? And he tells everybody, repent, the kingdom of God is near. He starts off by saying it's our job and our relationship with God to make ourselves right with God, to get rid of anything that separates us from God. And repentance is one of those serious things. It's one of those big church words that we really only hear in church, right? And so it sounds kind of silly to us, but it's really as simple as ABCD. Can you guys say those, ABCD? Okay, we admit what we did wrong. We be sorry for it. Do you get that? Be sorry. We confess and fix it, and then we don't do it again, right? It is not just saying, I'm sorry, and then going along and doing the same thing over and over and over again. If we are actually sorry, we feel bad about the action. If we are actually sorry, we apologize for it. If we are actually sorry, we try not to do it again, right? And that is what true repentance is, and that is what we are focusing today on. During Spark Worship, we are going to learn more about repentance. We're going to sing, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus, which you guys all call the pirate song. And we are going to make repentance butterflies or Lent calendars to help us remember the days of Lent. So you guys ready to pray? Let's bow our heads, fold our hands, close our eyes, and repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, during the season of Lent, help us focus our hearts on you.
Help us focus our hearts on you.
And turn away from anything. That separates us from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
During our pastoral prayer time together, I usually lift things that are going up and around the world and community. And I ask you, if you have a prayer request, the Connect cards that are in front of you in the pews, I think they're green now. Ah, thank you, Barbara Smith. One side is prayer. The other side is for you to give us information if you've changed your phone number, address, email, whatever it is that you have on file with us, or if you are new to our church and would like to give us that information to fill that out. Put it in the offering as it comes by you, okay? So, let us go before God in prayer, remembering that Jesus said from John 20:21, peace I leave you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Let us therefore go before our God in peace as we pray. Creator of all, we pray for peace for our world, where conflict and violence has caused so much suffering. Guide leaders towards understanding and compassion, and mend the divisions that keep us apart. May your spirit of reconciliation heal hearts and communities, and bring forth a future of justice and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. Great physician, we pray for those who are sick or injured or struggling with mental health challenges. Grant them healing and comfort. Guide the hands of those who care for them. And may your presence bring solace and peace to their hearts and bodies. Lord, hear our prayers. Eternal God of hope, as we embark on this new season of Lent, even when we find ourselves in the wilderness, fill our hearts with courage and hope for a brighter tomorrow. Rekindle our faith in your transforming power and possibility. Lord, hear our prayers. And now, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for hearing our prayers as we now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Have you ever found yourself lost in the wilderness? Maybe you started the journey with confidence and you followed a marked trail, but somewhere along the line you took a wrong turn. Maybe lured by a path, hidden path, or distracted from the beauty of everything around you. And now those familiar markers are gone. And the panic begins to creep in. You find yourself foraging through paths of dense vegetation, chopping and pushing and moving branches and shrubs, navigating through thick bush and trees, even following the animals' tracks or other signs in any possible way as hunger begins to gnaw at your stomach and thirst parches your throat. And every rustling leaf sends a panic as your heart races and you find yourself completely lost in the wilderness. I wonder, have you ever found yourself lost in the wilderness? Today we're going to turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, where Jesus suddenly finds himself in the wilderness, a place of hardship, temptation, and solitude. I wonder if the wilderness holds the keys to strength and courage, not just for Jesus, but for us as well. Let's read from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. You see there, it's on your pew Bible on page 910. I'm going to be reading from a version called the Jewish Annotated New Testament. Listen to see what's different between the pew Bible or your own Bible and the Jewish Annotated New Testament as we listen for a word from God. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart in the Spirit, descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. The wilderness is real, friends. It's real because life is often filled with many challenges of doubt, of fears, of temptations. And we have all been or will find ourselves sometime in this lifetime in the wilderness. And maybe our wilderness is a job loss. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a struggle or addiction. Maybe it is the weight of the world, the injustices that we see, the pain that we carry. Oh, yes, we will wander and wander into the wilderness at some point in our lives. Perhaps it'll happen during a time where we are questioning our faith. Maybe we're questioning our career path. Maybe we're questioning even our relationships. And the ground beneath our feet suddenly feels like it's unstable. And the compass that we've always carried, it seems to have lost its direction. And suddenly, Like Jesus, we find ourselves transported to the wilderness where fear and uncertainty gnaw. If we begin to wonder if we'll ever find our way out. Now, sometimes we end up in the wilderness and it's not even our fault. That happened to Gilligan. He thought that they were in for some smooth sailing, yet do you remember what happened to Gilligan? Just sit right back and you hear a tale of a faithful trip that started on this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Marianne here on Gilligan's Isle. Oh, I love that you knew that song. Well, I'll tell you the truth of what happened. They never intended to be deserted on that isle all alone in the wilderness. And so many times we go, don't intend to find ourselves on a beach only expecting a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes you don't see it coming, and that is the truth of the matter. Often we find ourselves there, and we look around and say, what in the world happened? We will all have wilderness experiences, even me. My last wilderness adventure, well, it began when I was called to leave a rather large urban church in Austin, Texas. At the time, I was in my lane. I found my groove. I was part of a team that was doing good ministry, and I was comfortable. I was comfortable in my role as the congregational care pastor. I say that, I lift my head up a little bit. People liked me there. And then suddenly, I got a call from the bishop and cabinet to come to a new church. I was instantly transported into the wilderness of a new church appointment and relocated to this bedroom community called Helotes. Now, I'm not a stranger to Helotes because I literally grew up in Northwest San Antonio. And so for me, it was kind of like coming home. And after a short discussion with my family, my son and husband are here today. I don't know where my husband is. Where are you? Thank you, Kevin. I need to know where to aim the target. After a short discussion with my family, all of us, and my husband and I, we decided that we would sell our home in Austin, pack up, and move to Helotes, Texas. Now, there are a lot of moving parts in any relocation, agreed? And we were not certain of where we were going to land. The one thing we were certain of is that the bishop in the Methodist, United Methodist Church said, on June 23rd, you will move. Not a lot of wiggle room. And then they said, on June 26th, you will start your new assignment. And so he said, aye, aye, Captain. And with such a short time to move, and with us really not having anything done, because I think that was April when I got the call, I asked the church, do you mind if I move some of my things into the youth house? Because I understand it's empty, it's just a storage space. And I was so blessed by this congregation when your leadership team said, yeah, by all means, move what you need to into the youth house. It'll be cool. And so that was one thing off my mind. And it was with great compassion and generosity that your ad board agreed to let me do that. But I was still feeling a little bit lost, control. And we had not yet sold our house in Austin. And so I found out that I needed a place to stay here. And so once more, I went to your leadership team, your ad board and trustees, and said,
can I just stay in the one room in the youth house while we sell our house in Austin and we buy a house here? And guess what they said? Yes. So compassionate, so caring. So they allowed me to move into that house. Well, I was going to stay for a short three-hour tour. But as it was, that I remember when I moved in, when I came that day, we brought some of my stuff, put more in storage, and I was met by a group of individuals here that were so kind and helpful and helped me move. And some of them even brought me furniture because I hadn't planned to stay. It was a three-hour tour. And so some of you brought me some furniture to use in the youth house. I didn't even have a real bed. I was sleeping on an air mattress because I thought, well, it's going to be, you know, a few short months and I'll be able to have a real home. Anyway, thinking that it was short, it wasn't. By the way, one of these days I do need to return some of you the furniture that I have. Call me. Or I'll call you. After landing here, soon it was time to get to work. And on my first Sunday here as the new senior pastor, I was greeted with some friendliness, some curiosity, some trepidation, and even some enmity. I heard rumors circulating about me. Some people said I was that liberal woman from Austin. Who knew that Satan was hanging out in this wilderness, spreading lies and gossip and innuendo, and tempting others to believe this gossip? It was after church on my very first Sunday that somebody came up to me after church and said, "Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people that march at the Capitol?" I think they were insinuating something about me. By the way, I have never marched. I have strolled the Capitol grounds many times. Once I was asked to say the opening prayer for the Texas State Legislature. Woo! But I have never marched at the Capitol because I would consider that kind of exercise. And you know me now. Exercise makes me break out in a cold sweat. I just won't do it. So I'm not much of a marcher. Back to the wilderness. Well, I found myself living full-time in Helotes as my family remained in Austin, still getting the house ready to sell. You see the quote marks? I suddenly found myself living in the youth house alone. And I will confess to you, this was the very first time in my 60-some-odd years that I have lived by myself for any length of time, ever. I know. Can you believe it? You're not even feeling sorry for me. But some of you know how it feels to live alone. Some of you know how it feels to be responsible for every single thing. And it's daunting. And I bless you where you're at with it. I admit I was spoiled before, not having to worry about taking the trash out, you know, or doing any of the yard work. Thank you, Sandra. I hope you're here today. Anyway, one day I was in the bathroom and I was trying to put on my Fisher of Men bracelet, you know, from James Avery. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be horrible if it fell down the sink? It fell down the sink. And I watched it go around and around and down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I panicked. So I called Kevin in Austin. Kevin, I just dropped my fisherman's bracelet in the sink. He said, it's okay. There's probably a trap. I said, well, the trap was it fell. We fell into the trap. He said, no, there's a trap in there. Take a picture of it for me. So I took a picture of the sink under the sink in the bathroom. And he said, okay, this will be easy. And he talked me through it. And I took the pipe off. And I went, it was gross. God bless you, plumbers. And people who have to do this stuff. And I poured it out, and my bracelet was there. It was gross. It was really gross. But I got my bracelet back. So you see, living alone in that house is weird when you're used to other people taking care of you, okay? And so then there was a couple of nights that were pretty scary. Remember, JB? Some alarm went off, then
the fireman came and JB came, and I'm in my room. Remember a couple years ago the electricity went off several times in big storms? Yeah, I'm alone in my room. I think I pushed the dresser in front of the door that night. Because I'm like, it's dark, people. And it's you think it's dark in your house. Try being in the back of the property. It's dark. And so after that happened, a couple of y'all angels came to me and said, this is my home phone number. I live right around the block. If this happens again, or you get nervous, call me. Which was so great of a gift. So it was during this time that Sharon, my faithful sidekick and realtor, Sharon Fitz and I, hit the streets. And we weren't just going clubbing. We were looking for a house. And so we looked at every listing, and we would set up, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6 drive-bys. She's doing this. It just felt like that. Because we were looking for a house in San Antonio or a Helotes that would be appropriate for my family. And so every weekend we were out hitting the streets, looking at houses, going to Henry's Puffy Tacos. That only happened once. And we'd find a house. You know, Sharon, am I a really hard client to deal with? Yes. Be careful. So I'd find a place I really like, and it's usually pretty weird because she's like, oh, that's so Austin. And she'd call them, and they'd already have a contract on it. This happened time and time and time again. I'd get really super excited. As soon as she called them, she'd say, oh, we probably really shouldn't even have seen that one because they already had a contract. That never happened, did it, Sharon? But it came to me that maybe right now I'm not supposed to move. It seemed to me in this wilderness that God closed every door, closed all those doors so that I would remain here. And although I felt incredibly blessed by you to be allowed to live in the youth house, it is still pretty much a youth house, okay? I'm not lying to you. I live in one bedroom of the house. The rest of the house is mostly storage for props and church equipment and costumes and whatever else, kind of CRAP you want to store. It landed in the youth house. And I typically take my meals and watch TV and sleep all in the same room. Yeah, bummer. But the worst thing, the toughest thing for me living in this wilderness is the alone time. Because I happen to love my family. Yes, mostly all of them. I mostly do. And I miss living with them on a day-to-day basis. And at times when I feel particularly alone in the wilderness, God sends me angels. Angels to minister to me. I have had angels prepare me meals. Bring me coffee and sweets. Give me gift cards and treats. I've had angels invite me to their home for dinner. I've had angels give me angelic fig jelly. And I have a trusty paperweight at home now that one of the angels got me, and I look at it every day, and it says simply, wait, pray, trust. So many angels supporting me through their prayer and cares. And for all of us, time in the wilderness can feel lonely and challenging. And there are many, many kinds of wilderness that people experience. There's an emotional wilderness where we face the wild, intense emotions like grief and loss and anxiety or depression. And it may feel like you are lost in a thick fog, unsure of where to turn or how to find your way out. There's the wilderness of uncertainty. That happens when we're facing the unknown, whether it's a new career or a difficult relationship or a major life decision. And it can be scary and disoriented, leaving you feeling like you're wandering without a map. Some of us find ourselves in a social wilderness. And you know what that is when you are isolated and misunderstood and excluded. It feels like you are lost in a vast desert surrounded by people, but utterly alone. And there's an existential wilderness where we grapple with big questions. Questions about life, about death, about meaning, and about purpose. And it can feel sometimes like you're adrift in the sea, unsure of where you're going to go or how to even get searching. And then there's the physical wilderness with challenges coming from illness, injury, or a disability. And that can be like climbing a treacherous mountain requiring immense strength and perseverance. Friends, the wilderness is real, and it will be filled with challenges. We will all have times where we will face the wilderness, times of doubt, of fear, of temptation. Only you know the wilderness that you face. Only you know, and your journey is unique. But remember, dear brothers and sisters, whatever wilderness we find ourselves in, we are not alone. Jesus was accompanied in the wilderness and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We too have been given the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is with us, guiding us and strengthening us, supporting us along the way. And just like Jesus, we too have angels attending to our every need in the middle of the wilderness. And knowing that God is with us can help us embrace even the most difficult wilderness experience. As we step into this unknown wilderness, we will come face to face with our fears, and we will discover hidden strengths within us. I did not know I could take the sink apart. I now have a hidden strength. You too will find strength from those adversities. It is from the wilderness that we experience the mighty, awesome, huge, raw power of God and the transformative beauty of God's creation and the good news that sets us free. As for me, the wilderness is now somewhat tame, although my family is still in Austin and I still live in the youth house. And I won't lie to you, the youth house is still a youth house. I long to be with my family. At first, I tried to go to Austin like every other weekend. And then I started going to Austin every couple of weeks on the weekends. And then it stretched to 3 weeks and then 4 weeks. And now about every 5 or 6 weeks, I head to Austin. I was just there this weekend and I brought him here with me. Because it was his birthday. Happy birthday. And so those times are hard. But God has blessed me. When my family is not here, the family of Christ is here. And you surround me. You are my family. And God has sent amazing angels to sustain me through these periods and through this journey. And I have seen God's hand at work, bringing me back to full circle in this place where I grew up, allowing me a whole year and a half with my mother before she passed away here. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. Allowing me to spend time with old friends and creating new friendships and relationship. Bringing me full circle with the Walk to Emmaus. I am now the spiritual director for this community Walk to Emmaus. That's God's hand in God's work. God's amazing grace is at work in me, but guess what? God's amazing grace is in work in your lives too. Think back on your life and consider the times that you were in the wilderness. How do you see God sending angels to you? Do you remember an angel or two? A lifeline. A friend, a family member, an angel you didn't even know yet to sustain you and encourage you and feed you the spiritual food that you might last. Now, Jesus, he didn't stay in the wilderness alone. He was empowered by the Spirit, ready to face his destiny, and we too are never alone, and we are empowered by that same Spirit
ready to face our own destiny. Now, Jesus, he came out of the wilderness experience even stronger, more focused, better equipped to face every challenge that he was going to face. When the 40 days were over, he emerged from the wilderness, and Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news, that's not a distant promise, but a current reality for us. In the message within each of us lies a message of this promise. Not a distant future, but now, a present reality, transforming us, healing us, fulfilling the life that God has entrusted to us. Jesus emerged from the wild. We can too. We can find strength and hope and courage and power as we emerge from any wilderness. We can seek the Spirit of God and remember the good news. We're not alone. The kingdom of God is within us, and God's power can transform us. Therefore, let us go into the world, brothers and sisters, with courage, living in hope. Remember, the wilderness may be tough, but we're tougher. Angels surround us and will care for our every need. And we are empowered to find the strength to emerge with a renewed spirit, ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. And to that, I will always say, amen. Amen. Amen.
Why I give. In my years of life, I've only had two church homes. This is my second one. And so I believe the church is the people. And I believe that by giving, whatever that means for us, whether money or time or talents, that's how we support those people that mean so much to us. That's why I give to this church, because you guys are my church family. Amen. So will the ushers please come forward to take the offering. Let us pray. Lord, as we offer our gifts today, we open our hearts to your transforming love. We ask that you use these offerings not just to sustain the work of this church, but to spread the good news of your kingdom far and wide. May our generosity reflect the overflowing joy of knowing you, the unreserved commitment of Jesus, and the fierce hope that burns within us for a world redeemed. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might go forth from this place not as passive observers, but as active participants in your mission. Make us instruments of your peace, beacons of your love, and living testimonies to the transforming power of your grace. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You might as well stay standing, because if you sit down, then you have to stand up, and that's exercise. See? See how I am? I'm kind. Thank you. Anyway, we have had an amazing time in worship this day, and it all sets us up for transformation. Transformation doesn't happen alone. It causes you to go out into the world and to do God's will and work in the world. Let your heart be open. Allow yourself the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you. When you see somebody in need, take care of it. When you see someone who's sad, give them a tissue. When you see someone who's hungry, feed them. Just let the Spirit work through you, and you will find amazing grace for yourself and others. Now, we say we're going to do that as we proclaim our mission statement every week. Oh, it just showed up. And so we say this to remind ourselves that this isn't the end point. This is the starting gate. So as we move forth from this day, let's do what this mission tells us to do. Will you say it with me? The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. So think about it and then just do it, okay? I'm going to be a Nike commercial. Just do it. Now, having been fed by the Holy Spirit, having been led out of the wilderness, you now are charged to go forth back into the world. And sometimes you're going to find yourself in the wilderness. But do not be afraid. You are not alone. God is with you and will send you angels of mercy and grace. So let us go forth with that power and that hope. Amen? Amen. Let's go forth in peace.